having a wonderful day, and I thank you for joining me on this episode. In a recent poll I posted on my Instagram page, I asked what are some topics that my listeners would want to hear discussed in the next episode, and everyone requested something that had to do with relationships of some sort, whether it be friendships, romantic relationships. We all experience relationships in one way or another. And so I thought that the topics that I'm going to cover in this episode would be beneficial to all of us. This will be done in four parts. We're going to cover toxic positivity versus validation and hope, relationship killers, relationship savers, and how to do the work. I thought that the best way to start would be with the toxic positivity versus hope and validation, because that's something that I think a lot of us don't realize we are involved in until we are aware of it in hindsight. And during this pandemic, it's something that a lot of us, I think, are experiencing. First, let me tell you what toxic positivity is as we begin this first episode, or first subject in this episode. Toxic positivity is assuming that despite someone's emotional pain or difficulties, they need to maintain a positive mindset or positive vibes. It's dismissive, and it minimalizes what someone is feeling and invalidates their feelings. So during the pandemic especially, we are all experiencing trying times in one way or another. There's been a lot of loss and grief and hardships, and so we want to be comforting and positive to others. But sometimes the way that we do it, the things we say, can do more harm than good. So what I'm going to do is mention a phrase that is used and that is toxic positivity, and then compare it to a phrase that offers hope and validation. Because what we're really trying to do when we comfort someone or offer positivity, what we want to do is validate their feelings, and if we can, offer some type of hope. But people want to be seen and heard, and so validation is very important in that respect. So let's start with the first phrase. You just need to be positive. I know I've heard that before. I know I've said that before. I've started adjusting myself as I've been researching these things, but saying to someone, you just need to be positive, it doesn't validate their feelings. It just offers something they need to do. And if we could just easily just be positive, no one would ever have any sadness or grief or anything. So a better phrase would be, I'm sure it feels hard to be positive in a situation like this. So you see, here we offer validation that we can understand that it would be hard to be positive in a situation like this, and this would offer the person more opportunity to open up to us and express more if they felt the desire, without just telling them to just be positive and just switch it off. Next phrase, stop being so negative. Better phrase, it's normal to feel negative in this situation. Again, offering validation, not just telling them to just stop being negative and just be positive. We offer some comfort in the fact that we're telling them that it is normal to feel negative in this type of situation. Next phrase, never give up. Better phrase, it's okay to give up sometimes. Would the outcome be ideal if you did? So this one's a little bit different, because we offer them validation and tell them that it's okay to give up, that maybe they need to just rest and relinquish control. But then we also give them a question, an opportunity to think further on it. Would the outcome be ideal if they did? So would giving up help your situation? Or do you need to go further? That gives the person a little bit more of insight into what they need to do. Next phrase. You need to look for the good. Better phrase. It's probably hard to see any good in this right now, but how can we make sense of it? So again, offering that validation. You're giving them the ease to feel what they feel, and then asking how together you can try to make sense of the situation. So it also gives them some comfort knowing that they're not alone. Next phrase. I'm sure it's not as bad as it seems. But think about that. It obviously seems bad to the person because they feel the way they feel. So better phrase. This is hard, but I believe in you to get through it. So again, you're offering them that validation, telling them that it's hard because obviously they're feeling that way, but then telling them that you have faith in them to get through the situation. So you've given them that validation and the hope. Next phrase. There are worse things out there in the world. Better phrase. This is really tough, and I'm here for you. Validation and hope. Telling someone that there are worse things does not give you comfort. We all know that there are things that are worse than what we feel, but what we feel at that moment feels strong to us. So to give someone the validation that you know that it's tough because you see the way they're experiencing things, and then offering the hope and the comfort that you're there for them is emotional support. And last phrase, it'll be fine. It'll be okay. Better phrase. I understand why it doesn't feel okay right now, and I'm here for you. Again, validation and hope. So, something that I can take away from this is to really listen when someone is expressing themselves to me in their words, body language, tone, and to let that process before I respond, and not listening to respond, but to really try to delve into the person's feelings and gain insight into them at that moment, and then take some time before I give them that response so that I can think about whether or not the response I'm giving offers that toxic positivity, or if it actually does give them some hope and validation. And if we do take the time to do that, I'm sure that the outcome will be much, much better. I saved a list of things to say that are helpful to hurting people, just to help myself better comfort others when they're in emotional distress. And so I thought I'd just share this list with you, just as a good ending to the first segment of this episode. And I'm just going to run down these phrases and questions, and just for you to take mindful notice of. I realize nothing I can say can ease your pain, but I want you to know that I'm here for you. How are you feeling about this? I don't know what to say, but I'd love to listen. Do you want to talk more about it? How can I best support you right now? I love you and I'm grieving with you. I can't begin to imagine what you're going through, but I want to help. What can I do that would be helpful to you? I see how this can make you feel sad, frustrated, lonely, afraid, anxious, etc. Can I bring you dinner tonight? What's the hardest part about this for you? May I pray with you about this right now? Don't hesitate to call me anytime if you need something. I realize that this pain may not go away quickly, so I'm going to check in with you next week, tomorrow, etc. I will be here to care for you and support you as long as you feel your pain. I want to journey through this with you. We don't have to talk. I'm happy to simply sit here with you. So that's the end of the list. Obviously, if you don't feel those apply, you don't have to use them, but there's some variances in ways that we can, again, offer that validation to someone's feelings and then hope in different ways. Because, again, the utmost goal is to have someone feel seen, feel heard, feel validated, that what they feel is sensible because it's sensible to them. And it's something I can work on, and I know something all of us could apply in our everyday lives. Relationship killers. These are things that generally don't kill or end a relationship immediately, but over time they can erode the closeness that was formed. So we're going to go over some of the things that do this. And first, unspoken expectations. Most of us have things that we have as standards or basis for how we would like our relationship to be. This is something we all would do well to review from time to time and see if what we are seeking is proper, if it's something that's reachable for people that we engage with, and make adjustments as necessary. There's no way that we can expect anything out of someone who doesn't know that we expect it from them. So there may be things that we have in our minds that we want someone to do or need someone to do, but unless we tell them or share it with them, there's no way we can be assured that they know it. So it's good to express our expectations if it's something that we need in that relationship so that the other person has the opportunity to give it to us and provide it. And someone that truly cares for us should have no problem attempting to provide what we expect, if it is, like I said, reachable and attainable. Second thing, avoidance. Avoidance is characterized by various traits. We might be distancing ourselves from the person we're in a relationship with, such as not returning their calls or texts, deflecting their attempts to draw closer or have conversations about the status of the relationship. Avoidance can also be something that creates questions for the person that is being avoided, because when someone is consistently distancing themselves from us or deflecting, forgetting important dates or things like that, the person who is being avoided now has questions in their mind like, do they really care? Do they really love me? And it undermines the strength of the relationship and erodes the closeness over time. And another way that people can be avoidant is by not resolving conflicts fully. Now, no one wants to have continued conflicts in a relationship, but there are going to be conflicts when there's two different people in a relationship with different mindsets and upbringings and all such. So conflicts are a normal part of a relationship, and that's not a bad thing, but the bad thing is when they go on unresolved and then resentment builds, because now the person doesn't feel like it was solved. So now then something else comes up and it's like, well, we never even fixed that. So we want someone to be responsive to our basic needs in a relationship. And when someone is avoidant, that's the total opposite and creates distancing, a distanced feeling, and it creates separateness when the goal is to come together. Another relationship killer is needing to be right. This can be a very big problem because no one wants to interact with someone that always has to be right all the time, because we have to be willing to learn, especially when dealing again with another person with different mindset, different upbringing, different experiences. And if we have to be the one to be right, we're never going to be open to understanding where we're wrong and learning from it and growing from it and trying to compromise ourselves in some ways to better our relationship with the person we're in the relationship with. Another relationship killer is the be more like me mentality. This is something that I've struggled with for years, because often I feel that I do so much to care for my relationships. There's so much I put in. I do research. I try to learn the person, show such strong interest, and really gain a knowledge of them, because I'm someone that likes to prevent problems, not deal with them after. I like to really avoid as much as I can. I don't really like having conflicts and things. So I can tend to think, well, if you were just being like how I was, we would avoid this problem. So something I've worked on and have been and still am is to realize that I have to accept people as they are, which I do to an extent, but then sometimes, like I said, I want people to do how I would because that's the way it makes me happy. So but we have to really let people do them and be themselves. Not that we want to forget about the things that we wish to happen in the relationship, and it's still no problem voicing the things we need and want, but sometimes we have to let it be done in their way, because their way is different than ours. Their mindset is different. How they feel is different. And so we want to try and avoid that be like me mentality and let people be them, but with knowledge of what we want and need. Another killer is reactivity and impatience. Oftentimes when people are speaking to us or sharing things with us, we might just react. We don't take time to let it formulate a response based on knowledge, but just reaction, because of sometimes it can come from trauma where we feel defensive and we feel like we have a need to assert ourselves differently from what the person has explained to us. And this can be detrimental because we are just reacting and not truly giving a wholesome, all-encompassing response. We're just reacting with emotion. And then impatience, you know, everyone operates on a different timeline, and what we feel may be forever might not be that for another. Again, not saying that people should be allowed to just neglect us and be ignoring of our time and energy. But sometimes we just need to evaluate where we see that the lack of time, and think of, is this really something that we need right now? Another relationship killer is withholding your truth and love. Withholding of any kind in a relationship is often negative, because we are in that to share, to release, to engage. So when we withhold our truths, our honest feelings and expressions with the one person or people that we are there to share it with, we're not able to build and grow with them. And withholding our love, well, that should be pretty self-explanatory. We're there to love, so withholding that is detrimental. It's understandable that when a person has maybe wronged us or betrayed us or made us feel some type of way, we don't necessarily feel loving. But that's the time to then not withhold our truth and let them know, listen, the way that I feel when you did this was uncomfortable for me because blah, blah, blah. That way we can get to the bottom of it. We can resolve the issue and continue with our truth and love. Another relationship killer is micromanagement and control. For those of us that really like to have control of things in our life, relationships can be the total opposite of that. Something, example of this for me, it's not about necessarily a relationship, but I'm the type of person, I do like to have control over things, and I like to know how things are going to pan out and things like that. When I went into nursing school, my professor told us, you got to throw that stuff out the window, because nothing is ever going to go as you think on a day on your hospital unit. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they say that. But when I became a nurse working in the hospital, it is the most truthful thing I've ever experienced. I can have everything planned out how I wish, and I still do, because you still have to have some sort of time management. But there will be a wrench thrown in that day, every hour, something will come up that I had not planned for, and you have to adjust to that situation at that time while keeping the same plans you have. So it's not to forego the things that you have and want to do or would like to happen, but it's the adaptability. So we can't control every single aspect of the relationship and the person. Another relationship killer is demanding rather than inviting. Demands rather than invitations. No one wants to be demanded that they do something. We are adults. We are people who have feelings, lives, different energy levels at different times, and to demand something of someone is inconsiderate. And how much better is it to invite and allow the person to decide how they want to share with us? That gives an open forum. It allows for if they want to decline for whatever reason, they don't have to feel obligated, and it helps with better free flowing of the relationship. Another relationship killer is betrayals of trust. Trust and honesty are such a huge part of a relationship, because you can't have anything else without that. When we are interacting with someone and we can't believe what they tell us, we can't rely on what they tell us, we know that they're not going to do what they say, nothing builds positively from that. And if we do have that, and then someone does something to betray that trust, kills such feelings of safety within that relationship, because something that you feel secure in has now been demolished. Not saying it can't be built again from, but it takes a lot more time. So it's always better to just be truthful, be honest. And that again goes back into not withholding our truths. If there's a way we feel about something, always better to share it when it's something small and take care of it so that it doesn't grow into something large. And we owe it to the person we're engaging with to be truthful and honest with them so that they can do so with us, and we can have that constant build, and intimacy will grow in that way. Last relationship killer, keeping score. Well, you didn't this, so I didn't that. Or you didn't do this day, and you didn't do this that day, and you didn't do this that day. And I feel, what I feel about this is I do feel like sometimes this can happen when other things aren't in place as they should. For instance, if the person we're dealing with is consistent, they're generally consistent with us. They call us back when they say they will. They text us to let us know that there's a delay of some sort or something like that. Then we won't generally keep score, because we just know that there's something came up or they have something to do. But when people begin to be inconsistent with us, we can start to get into the habit of keeping score. Well, you didn't do this then, and you didn't do this then. And the other person, the person who's doing the actions that make the other keep score, may not realize that what they're doing is creating this insecurity in the other person. Not saying that it's okay to keep score, but I can understand the reasons why it can lead to that. So best thing again to do is to be expressive. Well, I thought that you were going to call me back. What happened? Or the other person being proactive and saying, listen, I couldn't get back to you because so and so and so. And this creates security, safety. It's honest. There's no need to wonder. Because if it's one thing I do, I know, is think and wonder everything. So communication for me is very important on both sides of any relationship I'm interacting in, because the more I know, the less I need to think or wonder. I'm still going to wonder, but I will do it less. And keeping score is not something you want to do. We're not like a tally for good and bad behaviors. We want things to just be as people feel. So prevention is always the best medicine. Relationship savers. To go over some of the things that help relationships not only grow and build, but offer safety when in distress. First one is curiosity. Curiosity in a relationship is so important because it shows our interest in that person. If there's one thing I love, is curiosity. I'm a very curious woman, and that applies to everything that I'm involved in. And if it doesn't pique my interest or make me curious, I know it's just not for me. And that definitely applies to a person that I'm engaging with. And it's something that tells us that someone wants to learn about us, wants to learn more about us, that they're interested in why we are as we are, why we do what we do. And it helps us feel, what is the word? Maybe loved. It helps us feel important and valued by the other person. So we should never want to lose that either, because, you know, we never stop learning ourselves, so we definitely aren't going to stop learning another. Another relationship saver, big one, listening. Listening is such an important part of a relationship, because if we don't listen to someone in verbal and non-verbal ways, we could never know the person. Listening is defined as the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. It is the key to all effective communication. Without the ability to listen effectively, messages are easily misunderstood. So it's one thing to receive information, and inanimate things can do that. Our phone, like my phone right now, is listening to me talk and it's recording it. But it can't interpret messages as we are able to, as a human can. That's a very big part of a relationship, because we may speak to someone, tell them things, but they may interpret it improperly. They may misunderstand us, and then we can rephrase it or maybe ask questions to help the other person understand. But if that message is never understood, if we are never able to effectively communicate, there is no basis for that relationship at all to work. So that's something I know that we can all, including myself, grow in, because listening can be difficult at times, especially, again, when you're dealing with someone else and their ways and their mindset and perceptions. But it's never something that we want to give up on. We want to keep trying to learn better ways to do so, because it's one thing to hear, but it's one thing to listen. Another relationship saver, we're on the savers now. Another relationship saver is compassion. I had to look this up because I wasn't totally 100% sure of the definition. And if I don't know a word, then I'm all about the dictionary. So compassion is concern for well-being or recognition of suffering and then taking action to help. So when we feel compassion for someone, it's that feeling of wanting to do something to help them because we see a need in them, because we see and or feel their pain, and we want to alleviate that. That's such an important part of a relationship, because there's going to be times, of course, that our partner or whoever we're engaged with is suffering in some way. It may be grief, it may be physical pain, it can be anything. And for us to be able to notice that in them, and as we get to know them better, it should get easier. Sometimes they might not tell us, but we can tell by the way they're acting or responding, and then doing something that we know can help them in a way that we know that will benefit them. Like if we know that when they are in grief or feeling sad, they just want to be held, and just grabbing them and putting our arms around them, or we know that person likes to go out to eat at a specific place, and we just say, hey, you just want to go out to eat, blah, 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 I just thought we could go there, and that helps them realize that you took notice of that and then did something to act on it. Another relationship saver is consideration. Consideration is so important because it takes into account the other person's feelings and thoughts. Consideration is defined as careful thought, typically over a period of time. So there may be something that we just know because someone tells us, but by being considerate of a person, we take into account their feelings. We think how this might affect the person. We're considerate of their needs. We give careful attention to their wants. And this helps us better formulate a guide as to how to engage and treat this person. Another relationship saver is holding space. Holding space is presence. It's being there emotionally, physically, mentally, either altogether or in part, and holding space or energy for that person when they need us. So it's acceptance as they are. It's being with someone without judgment, and managing judgment is a very important part of holding space, because it allows the person to just be as they are, and putting our needs and wants aside and just holding space, just being present, just so that they can feel what they need to feel, think what they need to think, and not in putting our own selves into their space at that moment, but just being in it. And sometimes we can't physically do it, but we can do it emotionally, maybe through the phone. I mean, there's so much with technology now that there's really no excuse to not interact with someone, because not all of us can be physically present, especially with the pandemic. Physical interactions have been limited, but we have a plethora of things to engage with someone. We can FaceTime them, we can call, text. There's no excuse. Our phones are with us at all times. Another relationship saver is communication. That's another huge, huge part of any relationship, just like listening, because it's part of listening. Communication is how we let someone know anything. We can do this through a text. We can do this through a phone call. We can do this through a meme. You can do it through a song. You can communicate in so many ways. There's also still postal mail that we can use to communicate. And I think sending and receiving mail is so nice. But anyway, communication is how we send and receive information. If we don't do that, you can't have any kind of relationship. Any. There has to be communication, and it has to be something that's beneficial, because communication could just be something that we say we're doing, but how present are we when we're doing it? So, not to minimize the fact that any communication is important, but then to go a step further and saying, when I do communicate, am I fully engaging in that communication? Am I giving my full presence to it? And letting someone know when you enjoy something, letting someone know when you don't enjoy something, letting them know that we love them, that we care, that we're there, asking how their day was, letting them know what your day was like, just including the person in our lives and communicating regularly is what helps build and form that intimacy and closeness. Another relationship saver is willingness to lean in. I wasn't fully aware of how this applied in a relationship, and I wanted to be able to convey it well, so I looked it up. And willingness to lean in, mentioned on the internet, to commit to being, commit to discovering you and the other person while you're in that relationship. We never stop learning. Again, I think I mentioned this earlier, we never stop learning about ourselves. We're constantly changing. And so, of course, the other person we're engaging with is the same. They're going to change. They're going to evolve. So committing to always discovering and more about ourselves and the other in that relationship is important to leaning into it. Also, saying yes to opportunities that present themselves, not overanalyzing every single situation. Now, I'm very analytical, and I like to really know things before I agree, but there are some things that, especially when it comes to relationship situations, that I really just like to just say yes to. You wanna go here tonight? Sure, I'll figure out the details later, but yeah, I want to. That willingness to lean in, to say yes to opportunities that present themselves when the person we're in the relationship offers them to us, it gives positive feedback just to know that the person wants to connect with us on that other level, and they want to not give so much attention to things that don't always require it, but just being content with saying yes to things. Another relationship saver is embracing difference. We are so different. Again, I know I said this a million times, but we're always learning ourselves. We can be 80 and still never fully know ourselves because we constantly change and we have to constantly adapt. And so how will we ever fully know another? We can't 100%. So by embracing the difference, we don't have to fully be aware of everything they're going to do, but just embrace and love for what is. And this is something I know I can continue to work on, because it's like I like the difference, but I also want to know. I always want to know things. So it's something that I constantly have to tell myself to just embrace what is and let go of what you don't know. But you can still learn it, because I like to learn and learn things about people, and especially people that I love and care for. I want to know like every detail, and that to me is the excitement and beauty of being with someone, is learning those things. And I want to know so much about people, and I like when they want to know that about me, because to me that shows interest and love when you want to engage with me in that way and really try to learn me, because it shows effort. And it shows that you want to embrace my difference by learning about it. Another relationship saver is the freedom to be self-expressed. We all want to be free to express ourselves as we are. And when we have someone that we're free to do that with, there's no greater beauty in the world. And I know that because I've experienced it when you're with someone who you're a friendship or relationship with someone who lets you be in whatever way you are, silly, goofy, ridiculous, sad, happy, whatever, but just expressing yourself as you are and them allowing that freedom and letting you be, it's just so relaxing, and you feel like you can really just let your guard down. And those are the kind of people that we enjoy being with, where you can just laugh at things that are ridiculous, and if you I don't like snort or anything strange like that, but no, I'm not gonna say it's strange because that would be dismissive, but if you happen to do that and that's your friend and they do it, then it's like, okay, that's just what they do. And it actually is stuff that you end up loving more about the person when they have little tics or things that you know of, and that's just their expression. Or they may see art or music a certain way and they share that with you, and that might not be your thing, but you still allow them to be and to share it with you, and you just embrace that. Another relationship saver is abundant energy toward the connection. Why be in something if you're not going to give as much energy as you can into it? Then it's no point. Because the point of a connection is to not only have it be formed, but for it to continue to get stronger. And so to be able to devote and give your all into it, is something I pride myself in. When I'm in something, I tend to give so much, and sometimes it's the only time it comes off as a negative thing is when I don't feel like it's reciprocated, because we all want our energy reciprocated in some way, and there to be some mutuality. But to know that someone is giving so much to you, their time and energy, it shows the value they place in that connection, that they really do want to build, and they have an interest in that build and that developing of an even stronger bond. And the last relationship saver is commitment even when times are hard. And that can be difficult sometimes, because sometimes we've gone through situations where we've given so much to things for them to, and they end up negative. And so then when things show a hint of difficulty, we want to run away, or we want to start doing things that would kill the relationship that we already discussed. We might want to be avoidant, be distant, withholding things. But that commitment to being there and trying to resolve conflict and to give attention to the matter and give validate the person, let them know that you are there for them, and trying to see what you can do to rectify it, those things do so much to strengthen the bond, strengthen the connection, and build on the love and care that you have for each other, because it shows that you're not just going to leave. Because if that's the case, no relationship could ever survive, because times will get hard, and we all have our limits and know which things we want to continue with. And it's something that we also need to evaluate as time goes as well, because those things may change over time. The things that may used to bother us don't anymore, and sometimes the things that never did do now, we don't want to settle for those things. But when we're in a relationship with someone, generally the whole point of it is to be committed to being with that person in the difficult times, because we know that it's a given that it's going to occur. How to do the work. So now we've covered things that kill relationships, things that save relationships, and now we're going to cover how to do the work to have our relationships flourish. Now, as I've gone through some of the killers and savers, I made mention of different ways that could benefit us in those certain characteristics. But these are specific things now that I'm going to mention that we can really, again, keep in our relationship tool belt and use when necessary. The first one is slow down and take a breath before responding. You'd be surprised at how easy it is to, again, just respond or react as soon as someone tells us something, because oftentimes we are formulating our response as they speak, and sometimes it's a defense mechanism, or just we want to get out our response in retaliation or in opposition to what they say, especially if what we feel they're saying is not what we feel. So by just taking a breath, thinking about what was said, and then formulating a response to what they have expressed to us can really give us some time to not just react, but respond in a quality manner. And also, if something they said happened to be something that caused negative feelings within us, that deep breath before we speak can help alleviate some of that as well. Next thing is respond. Don't react. So yes, a response is a reaction, but a reaction in of itself tends to be more emotionally charged, where we're responding based off of how we feel and not necessarily what was said to us or expressed. And so we need to think about, what did this person just say to me? What do I need to say back to respond accurately and effectively, not just on how we feel? Another thing is to ask questions before making assumptions. This is a very big thing for me, because I love to ask questions, because I like to learn things and understand things, and I don't feel like I can unless I ask questions. That's just what I do. But it's so important in relationships, because we can assume things based on what we feel we know, what we think we know, what we've predetermined. There's so many reasons we can assume, and it's so much better to clarify with a question, because it can save you so much misinterpretation and misunderstandings. It's so good at preventing, to err on the side of caution and to ask just a simple question like, so is what you're saying this? Or let me just make sure this is what you're saying. Or let me get this right. Is this what you're saying? When I was in nursing school and studied mental health, psychology, clarification was one of the ways that we develop good communication and rapport with our patients, to either restate something as we heard it, like, so what you're saying is, and then state it so they can say, yes, that's what I mean, or to clarify with a question. I think the worst question is the question we don't ask. You never lose by asking a question, in my mind, and it's been proven, not just in my mind, but asking before you speak is such a good way to gauge before you give that response that might not be correct. Another way to do the work is to assume the best of your partner's intentions. Sometimes we can feel that someone doesn't have our best interests in mind. And this can happen even when we know a person loves and cares for us. Something I've told people that I interact with, if it's beyond just associating with them, is to always assume that what I'm saying is in the positive. And if it's not, I will let you know. I do this because I know that sometimes the way I speak and my tone can sometimes come across maybe cold or not as friendly as I guess some others, because I don't know if it's just because of me being from Brooklyn or whatever, I don't know, but not that that's an excuse, but I just tend to talk a certain way, and sometimes my tone can make people feel some things are a certain way when they're not. So I just like to let people know, look, just assume that everything I'm going to express to you, my intentions are always positive, always, and if it's not, you'll know it. By assuming the best of our partner's intentions, we never will feel that what they're doing is because of a lack of care, lack of love, or just out of negative reasoning. It'll help prevent problems, because if they don't do something, we won't be thinking, well, they must not this or that. We'll just say, oh, well, it must be because maybe they were busy or whatever. Not to say that we shouldn't be forthcoming and just let someone know when we can't fulfill something when possible, but by assuming the best of their intentions, we can alleviate a lot of unnecessary negative emotions. Another way to do the work is don't take things personally. That's difficult because when we're dealing with someone on a personal level, we are going to take things personally in ways, and it can be very hard to avoid not taking things personally. But this kind of goes along with the previous one of assuming the best of your partner's intentions and not taking things personally, like when something is done, not thinking that it was just done to outright hurt us. And being reasonable with that, of course, because obviously there's some things that people do that do hurt us, and they would know that that would hurt us. But generally speaking, if we don't take things personal, we'll just realize that it could be someone has this going on or that going on, and it's not an attack on us. It's just whatever's happening at the moment, we won't hold things against them. We don't want to be naive, but we want to be understanding. Be clear with your needs, desires, and boundaries. So, again, this kind of goes along with speaking your expectations. Letting someone know what you need, what you want, and what you will and will not accept. That way, there's no room for error. Well, of course people can still make mistakes because people aren't perfect, but they are able to clearly know that this is what you want, this is what you seek, this is what you need, and this is what you will not tolerate. And that helps a person who does love you and care for you and wants to grow with you do so in a better way, because if we know someone doesn't like something, we can avoid it. That should be our intention, as we wouldn't want to knowingly do something negative. And when we're able to know what someone needs and desires, and we're able to provide that to them, that helps the relationship build, because we're giving them what they want. I mean, that's pretty simple. If someone, it's like a job, a job will clearly let you know what they expect of you. And when you're doing that, it makes you feel good too, because you know that you're doing what your job requires, and it can offer a sense of fulfillment. And it helps your job because the job is getting from you what they need. So in a relationship, for both parties to clearly define needs, desires, and boundaries, you can only grow forward and upwards from there, because you now have a good basis and guideline for what that relationship goal is. Another way to do the work is practice self-care. We can devote so much energy into our relationships, which is good, but we also need to be devoting energy into ourselves, because a better us is a better half of that relationship, or however many pieces of it we are. Without being content within ourselves, happy within ourselves, nourished within ourselves, no one else can do that for us. They should only be adding to us. And that's one thing I always hold to, is I don't need another person to complete me or fulfill me. But if you can add to me, that's even more beautiful, because it's me saying I already have what I need. I've already taken care of myself. I'm giving to myself. I'm going on walks when I need to, and I'm resting when I need to, and I'm eating when I need to. But if you can add to that and add more positivity and beauty to my life, that's such a beautiful thing. Of course, it's not to say that we're going to have times where we may lack self-care. We need to get back on a certain regimen or whatever, and we need someone to lift us up and support us. And that's a beautiful thing when we can have someone hold that space for us. But generally, we need to care for ourselves so that the other person is only adding to that and not under the obligation to give us everything we need, but what they want to give when we need it in times of lower self, that's not what the word I'm looking for, in times of need, that's all. Anyway, another way to do the work is to do inner child work. We all have things that we've gone through as children, our upbringings, our environments that may have traumatized us. Certain things, like for me, growing up without my father, that has affected my life in ways that I've had to do work to heal. And I've done a lot to help it, but there's always still more I can do. And I see little things that come up here and there that trigger certain things. And I'm like, oh, okay, I still have some more work to do here. Let me do some research into this. Let me look into it. Like I said before, like, I love to learn. I really love to do research. Any subject that interests me, especially when it has to do with my life and the quality of it and what made me be this way or act a certain way, I'm going to look into it. And doing that inner child work is beneficial, because when you both do that, you're able to bring more to the table because you've healed things that you need to, and you're not looking to the other person to do it for you. Because of course, it's not to say that the other person can't help us with things, because they can. They may have gone through certain things similar, and you may be able to relate and grow together in certain things, but we are responsible for doing work to heal ourselves so that we have more to devote to the growth of the relationship, and not still trying to heal from things that we can't get past while trying to grow in a relationship as well. And if that's the case, maybe it's not the time to be in a relationship, but there's so much still that we need to do, and that's not something negative. And lastly, remember that you're both imperfect. That will really save you a lot of trouble when you realize that no one can be 100% great at everything. We may try, we might strive to be the best we can be, and that's great, but we will fall short at times. Again, the key is to knowing what your boundaries are, what you will and won't accept, and we all have varying degrees of things that work for us and don't. And sometimes we do need to make adjustments to those, but there are certain things that we don't feel that we need to adjust. But by remembering that we're both imperfect, it allows for relaxation in that relationship, because you're realizing, look, I know I'm not doing everything perfect. I know you're not. But how can we do better? How can we grow through this? What can I do to make you more happy? What can I do to add to your life and show that I value you and care for you? And it gives people ease to not feel like they're always on eggshells or can never do things that please us, but recognition in the fact that everything is not going to be great all the times, and people are going to do things that offend or hurt us. But where can we be okay with that and just, okay, let's talk about it. How can we make this better? What can we do in the future to prevent something like this from happening, if it's something that's worth discussing? Because some of it is also realizing that not everything needs to be addressed. And that's something that I've also learned throughout the years. When I was younger, everything was like, I had to make sure the other person knew it. Now I can give it some time before I bring it to someone's attention, and just so they know, like, look, this is something I've noticed. Maybe you don't notice that you're doing this, but it's not something that I really appreciate. And then they can make the needed adjustments. But by realizing that you're both imperfect, it can also help you to overlook certain things that don't need to be addressed at that time. And just realizing that you probably do things too that the other person may not bring up as well. So there's been a lot that has been covered in this episode. We talked about toxic positivity versus hope and validation, and helpful things to say to hurting people. Again, in this day and time, we're all hurting at different moments. So ways that we can be better for others is always going to help any relationship that we're in, and just even in just people that we come in contact with that we may not be in a relationship with, just to help people feel some comfort in this time. We talked about relationship killers and things that really demean and erode relationships, and then relationship savers and things that we can do to enhance and build on our relationships, and then how to do the work to be better people in those relationships and then help that relationship flourish. And I hope that this has been beneficial for you. It's been beneficial for me to even talk about it, because I see ways that I need to grow. A lot of the things I post and write about and do, they're for my own benefit. And I just feel like if I can benefit from it, I'm sure there's one other person that can. And if not, it doesn't matter. I did. So hopefully it helps you in one way or another. And I hope everyone has a wonderful, positive, energy-filled day. Thank you for listening to this episode of Dreamcast.